It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas. It's gone. It's been his night.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Welcome in, everybody. Another edition of the Boston Celtics postgame radio program right here on CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. It's Patrick Gilroy tonight. Alongside Sean Backey, we've got Nick Sesento behind the glass taking your phone calls on our movement watches, a toll-free phone lines following. Look, a Celtics victory on the road in Orlando. They crushed the Magic, especially in the second half. They came to play. They came to play shorthanded. We'll get into how the Celtics were able to overcome the loss of Isaiah Thomas as this program goes along. But for me, look, it's the Magic. They're an under 500 team. But the fact is, Sean, the Celtics have been up and down all season long. They've been looking for a gut check type of win. And this may be one of those wins. They're without their best player, first time all season long. IT has missed a game. And to be able to go on the road following a tough defeat at the hands of the Rockets a couple of nights ago at the last second and get this road victory less Isaiah Thomas, I think it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I don't want to blow this too far out of proportion here, Patrick, but this is probably one of the best wins and best best games that they've played this season thus far. You said it, the Magic, you know, now with this loss are 10-13, but they have some talent on that team. Must have been some sort of Bill Belichickian halftime speech by Brad Stevens in there, because the Celtics go on a tear in the second half and pulled away right away in that third quarter to the tune of 68 second half points. And what I was really impressed with was the fact that they were getting inside the paint, they were rebounding, and really hitting open shots tonight. And obviously that helped them pull away, but. You know, for them to be able to go out there and have a performance like this, despite the fact that the Magic is under 500, I thought was a very impressive win tonight. And they really spread it around without Isaiah Thomas tonight.
You're absolutely right. And I think one of the key statistics here tonight is the Celtics not only won the game, they won the battle of the boards. They actually out-rebounded their opponent. We don't see that much this season. So, again, you're right. It must have been one hell of a halftime speech. And I think that there's something to be said for a team coming together to overcome a loss of a player for a night or two. Now, the Celtics had to really try and rally the troops and stay above 500 in November with Al Horford missing 11 games. And I think that's been sort of a key component that doesn't get discussed enough, Sean, is that, look, yes, so the Celtics been up and down this season? Of course they have. Have they been, dare I say, disappointing? Of course they have. Have they come not as advertised? I think in some cases they have, but continuity, especially for an NBA team, is so important. And this Celtics team, because of injuries to very important players through the first 40 days of the season, has been unable to establish any kind of continuity and establish a team identity and go out there, throw the ball up every night and go be that team. And tonight's just another example. They had to change on the fly, which is great for a night. But I think at some point here, Sean, for the Celtics to sort of gain some ground and get back on track to being that 53, 54, 55 win team that we all thought they could be, they're going to have to stay healthy for an extended period of time. And it's just something that I worry about. We know that there's a history with guys like Avery Bradley, a history with guys like Marcus Smart. Al Horford does have a concussion history now, and another concussion, we could lose him for an extended period of time. So there are guys that you've already got sort of on your hot list when it comes to injury concerns. Jay Crowder now with both ankles. And I think for the Celtics team to reach their maximum level of play, they need to stay healthy for a 30-day stretch and really establish an identity, which is what last year's Celtics team did January 1st through the end of the regular season. That's when that team got hot. That's when they finished the regular season at home, 19-3 in their last 22 at the Garden. Remember, the season before, that edition of the Celtics won 9 out of their last 10 to make the playoffs. This edition of the Celtics needs to find that groove, that identity. And for them to do that, Isaiah Thomas, let's hope this hamstring isn't something that keeps him out for an extended period of time. I think it was very smart, and it took guts for Brad Stevens to send him home. IT was fighting to play. He wanted to play. And the smartest thing that they did was get him out of town and put him on a plane so he couldn't come and beg to play at 5 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, and he said that pregame. I was listening to the pregame on the Sports Hub with Grandy and Max, and that was one of the questions that Grandy asked Brad Stevens was, does it make it that much easier that you put him on a plane and don't have him, begging to play every 5 seconds? But you bring up a great point, Patrick. I mean, obviously, an injury to Isaiah Thomas is painful for him, obviously, because it's a groin injury, and he may not even play Friday night against Toronto, and it may be something that is sort of a positive to kind of rest him a couple of games, get him a couple of games rest, refreshed a little bit with the rest of his body and allow that thing to heal so it doesn't nag. But I really think the Celtics are, that one injury away, that one extended period where they lose a Thomas or a Crowder or a Bradley or Horford, like you said, especially at this turning point of the season when you're getting towards the end of the year and really turning the page into 2017 towards where you need to position yourself in a good spot for a playoff run. They're one injury away from becoming that 44-win team as opposed to the 54-win team. So it was good to see that despite the fact that one of their best players in Isaiah Thomas was out tonight, that they were able to put together a performance like this. And, I even saw, experts and people that cover the team and cover the NBA discussing the fact that the Celtics were really able to space the floor a lot more. The ball movement was there without Isaiah Thomas on the floor because he does command so much of the ball handling and command so much of the scoring that they were able to spread it around tonight. If you look at some of the scoring, you have your five starters with double digit points. Actually, the sheet that I'm looking at right now has Avery Bradley with 0 points, and I know he had more than zero. So
yeah, that's incorrect, John.
Yeah, all five starters with double figures, and then you had a great performance by Jaylen Brown tonight. And I know we'll get into this, but also Rozier off the bench with 16 points. Obviously, he was going to have to be counted on a lot with Isaiah Thomas, and he stepped up and played a great game as well. So I was really impressed with this performance tonight because in the second half, especially, they really locked down on defense. They hit the boards. They were getting into the paint. They weren't necessarily relying on the three-pointer as much as they have in the past. And, only 18 three-pointers tonight as opposed to the last time I was on post-game show when they shot, I think it was 30 three-pointers in one game, which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And look, the Celtics have set all kinds of early season records this year. And we get into exactly what those records are when it comes to three-pointers, attempted three-pointers made within a 30-day stretch. It's off the charts what this team is trying to do three-point-wise. And if you get frustrated as a Celtics fan watching them continue to take what you would think are not quality shots from behind the arc, I encourage Celtics fans to watch the rest of the league, whether it's on the NBA package, ESPN, TNT. This is a league-wide phenomenon. It's not just here in Boston. It's not like the Celtics are this undisciplined team taking wild, crazy shots. They all hung out with Antoine Walker last weekend, and now they're jacking from all over the floor. That's not the case. The entire league hung out with Antoine Walker at some point because the league is just out of control when it comes to three-point field goal attempts, three-point field goals made. It's the way the league is going. Shooting is at such a premium. And look, we can get into later on in the season when we're approaching draft time what makes some of these new breeds of your four and five position guys so explosive and just so dynamic. Once upon a time, and it wasn't all that long ago, a guy like Dirk Nowitzki was an NBA freak because he was a seven-footer that could extend to three. Now it seems like if you're a seven-footer and you can't extend to three, then there is something missing in your game. You're an incomplete player. You guys are all listening to the Boston Celtics post-game radio show right here. CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. It's Patrick Gilroy alongside Sean Vackey. We've got Nick Sesento behind the glass following the Boston Celtics victory in Orlando over the Orlando Magic. Your final score, 117-87. Of course, our Celtics postgame show this evening is brought to you by Blue Apron, whose mission it is to make incredible home cooked accessible to everybody. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Did you guys know that cooking together builds strong family bonds? Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times together more often. Now for less than just $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients that make delicious home-cooked meals in perfect time for the holidays. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by heading on over to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. Again, one more time, it's blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. We want to take your phone calls on our Movement Watch's toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. And I don't know, Sean, if you've listened to the way that I do this show typically, but I do like to at least in the first segment, you know, give an overview of the game and what we just watched. But then I like to take a look at the standings, where the Celtics are, to sort of bring it all back into, I don't know, perspective, because the first 40 days of this season have been so up and down that there's been such disappointing losses. We haven't had really a signature victory a la the Cleveland Cavaliers victory last year where Avery Bradley won the game at the last second. The Celtics haven't had that this year. But what they have had is inconsistency, both on and off the court. They haven't had help. And despite all of that, despite not having that defensive identity that we've come to know for this team over the last two seasons, despite all of the ups and downs and all of the negativity that surrounded this team, I find it fascinating that here we are. The Celtics are 13-9. They're four games over 500. They're 2.5 behind Cleveland for first place. They're in third place in the conference. So if the playoffs start today, they've got home court advantage. And, you know, this team has gone 7-3 in their last 10 games. It doesn't feel like they've gone 7-3 in their last 10, but they have. ESPN doesn't lie, and they do when it comes to Tom Brady, but when it comes to the Boston Celtics and the NBA standings, I'm assuming they don't lie. But to me, Sean, and from a fan's perspective, just remove yourself from this role for a moment. Does it feel like your team that you support has gone 7-3 in their last 10?
No, it really hasn't. And like you said, they've been up and down so much. But you did mention the continuity before, and I think they're still kind of building that. You know, there hasn't been too many opportunities in the last couple of weeks where all of them have been healthy and on the floor at the same time with guys like Horford and Crowder and now Thomas missing extended time. You know, each of them have had different variations of missed time on the court. So to be able to kind of put that all together and gel and, you know, go on the road and play on the second night of a back-to-back and, you know, play a tough opponent like Cleveland or San Antonio or Houston Monday night and be able to battle and come out with victories in those games, they haven't had that opportunity to, you know, to gel in extended periods of time. So hopefully the Thomas injury is just something that he can get over and is not going to be something that's nagging him through the season because he's going to try to play through it. And, you know, hopefully that doesn't hinder the Celtics, you know, when he can get healthy and they can start to gel because, you know, I think any team where you've added, you know, even a piece like just Al Horford, because for the most part, you know, most of the rest of the team was around last year, you know, you still need to have that that synergy, that togetherness that I think they still need to build. You know, we're just over a month into the season. You know, like you said, they've played, 22 games now. So I think there's still time for them to pull that together even more. And, you know, maybe they do need something. They need that signature game to be able to really get them going. But despite the fact that they've been so up and down and that there's been so much adversity with injuries and things like that, they are in a position in the top four in the conference. They have won 7 out of the last 10 games. And, you know, in a situation where I thought Orlando was going to hang around in this game because of how well they shot in the first half. You know, you had DJ Augustine hitting, you know, three threes in a row, basically, to give them a good advantage in the first half. The Celtics were able to really put the pedal to the metal and lock them down defensively. They haven't been able to do that all that much in this most recent stretch here. I haven't seen their defense really, really locked down like they did tonight, you know, against a team that has a lot of talent on it. You have Serge Ibaka, you have Augustine, Vucevic off the bench, You know, Payton, I think, is an impressive player, although I don't think we saw the most out of him tonight. I think he left it all on the court against the Wizards last night. But, you know, they do have some talent on this team. So for the Celtics to be able to really put together a defensive masterpiece and only allow, what was it, 87 points, you know, that's I'm very impressed with the sort of the track that they're heading towards. If they can keep this going, that would be fantastic. But they have a big test on Friday night.
It's a big test, right?
Yeah.
Sean, look at the test on Friday, and then look what's upcoming. And that's why it's so important to get wins like you did tonight. You know, with or without Isaiah Thomas, the Celtics believe that they are a playoff team, not only a playoff team, a team that should go a round or two, if not more, come playoff time. While Orlando, most likely, if they do qualify, will be somewhere between 7th and 10th in the conference, fighting for one of those final playoff spots in a best-case scenario. So, you know, you look at a win like this tonight, a win the Celtics had to have, because on Friday you have an opportunity for one of those signature wins, whether Isaiah Thomas plays or not. But you've got the team that you're chasing, the team that you want, your division rival, your conference rival, a team that you're 1.5 behind in the Atlantic and two games behind overall in the conference, the Toronto Raptors. And by the way, DeMar DeRozan has just been on an absolute tear. So that's not going to be an easy task at all. But then you follow that up with the Thunder and the Spurs. So, again, getting a win like tonight is that much larger when you look at what's upcoming in the next three games. If the Celtics are going to win two out of those three, or dare I say all three, I believe they're going to need Isaiah Thomas. Tonight, the Celtics were able to get 29 points out of the Isaiah Thomas replacement, and that's a combination of Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart. Terry Rozier, you got to give credit to him, has a career-high 16-point output and did it in a variety of ways. He played very well tonight. But if we've learned one thing about Terry Rozier this season, is that he's incredibly inconsistent. So you can't depend on Terry Rozier to repeat that performance at any point in the next two or three games. If he does, quite frankly, it'll be the first time he's done it all season long, put together back-to-back solid performances. And Marcus Smart, credit to him, 13 points, filled up the stat line tonight. So it's interesting, when you take the Isaiah Thomas replacement players, their output was virtually identical to what Isaiah Thomas has been averaging offensively all season long.
Pretty funny. And you know, I wouldn't put it past the Charlotte Hornets, whom the Celtics play next Friday after they have to play this three-game stretch against the Raptors and the Thunder and the Spurs, to put up a fight as well, because right now those teams have identical records and tied in the Eastern Conference. So, but yeah, you know, Smart and Rozier really stepped up tonight. You know, obviously there's been a knock on Smart. You know, he's getting letters from the league about flopping again, that kind of thing, a warning from the league. But I thought he played a great game tonight, 5 of 7 shooting. Like you said, he filled up the stat sheet. Rozier, you know, was very impressive tonight. You know, wasn't a great shooting performance with him, but, you know, he was doing some of the things that has led him to have the confidence of Brad Stevens to put him out there in this role. Had 5 rebounds tonight. You know, and the kid can sky. So for him to be in the weeds and out jumping people to get rebounds among the trees, if you will, you know, I thought that was impressive for him to be able to get 5 rebounds tonight. You know, just an all around great performance. You know, you look at some of the stats, even Olenek with his 9 points and 4 rebounds, and you know, Amir Johnson in double figures, you know, and also had 5 rebounds. Jay Crowder had 10 rebounds himself. Al Horford had 8 assists. So, you know, all of this adds up to the fact that, never mind the fact that they out rebounded him by 17. So a plus 17 in rebound differential is not something that we've seen very much of for the season for the Celtics. So for them to be able to do that, I think is very impressive, particularly because of the stretch that they have to go in. So they have some confidence now. Hopefully they get Thomas back and that confidence continues to build, because he's full of it, and they can go out and play this type of game against the Raptors on Friday, because they're going to need to play this type of game to be able to beat a team like Toronto, especially, like you said, the way DeRozan's playing.
A complete team victory tonight. Celtics with 58 points in the paint. That's a great number for this team. 43 points off the bench.
Huge.
And 19 points off second chance opportunities. And that's because of that rebounding number that you just mentioned. I do want to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you about Al Horford, because you brought him up in your little synopsis of the game there. And yes, He did fill up the stat line, but I've got a problem with Al Horford. One night going for 26, the next night for 10. At some point, this guy's got to get more consistent on the offensive end. And I wonder, is he still trying to work his way back from the concussion? Or is this what Atlanta has been seeing from Al Horford for years now? And from a distance, we just didn't notice. Maybe he averages 16 points a game because he goes for 26, 28 one night and 8 for the next. And when you put the two together, you get what you've been given so far from Al Horford. It's a problem for me for a team that struggles to score the basketball. I think you need to get Al Horford in the mix offensively more often than the Celtics do. I don't think it's acceptable for your all-star big man. I'm not going to call him a center or a forward because I'm tired of fighting over what his position is, but your all-star big man to get 9 shots. I believe it was a week ago. He only put up 6 shots. The Celtics have to force feed him the basketball. He can't choose himself to be complacent on the offensive end. And by no means am I trying to criticize his play tonight, because when you look at what he gave you in what, 29 minutes tonight, he did fill up the stat line with 8 assists, 6 rebounds, a couple block shots. But 10 points is just unacceptable from a guy like Al Horford. He's far too talented, far too dynamic of an offensive threat on the floor to give you these, you know, single point or 10 point, 12 point outputs. The Celtics need to do something to work him into the game early and often so he becomes a reliable and viable threat offensively and a threat to give his team 20 points, 22 points, night in and night out. Nobody's looking for this guy to be Boogie Cousins and give you 28 and 16. That's not who he is. But I think 17, 18, 19, 20, and 8 is exactly who he is, and that's exactly where he will wind up. But I want him to wind up there more consistently than the way we've seen him perform thus far this season. It is the Boston Celtics post-game show. It is Patrick Gilroy. It is Sean Backe. It is Nick Sesento behind the glass. He's been awfully quiet. I'm sure that won't last too long. Your phone calls on our Movement Watches toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Load them up. Are you on board with Al Horford, and do the Celtics need to do more to get their all-star big man involved early and often so he gives you more than 10 points a game? It's the Celtics post-game show right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com.
Not all ingredients are created equal. Fresh, high-quality ingredients make a real difference, so it's always important to know where your food comes from. I'd like to take a moment and tell you about Blue Apron. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals. So they set the highest standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. Folks, for less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you only the best in variety, flexibility, and ease of use. The recipe cards are incredible. This month, I made pan-seared chicken and roasted fall vegetables with butter caper sauce, spicy lotus root and purple carrot stir-fry with sweet potato noodles, lemongrass roasted pork with Romanesco cauliflower and coconut rice. These entrees may sound complicated, but with Blue Apron's recipe cards, they are easy and fun and get the whole family involved. We'd love for you to try Blue Apron. Support the Celtics postgame show and the entire CLNS radio network. And guess what? It's not going to cost you anything. So check out this week's menu and get your first 3 meals free with free shipping. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/CLNS. You will love how it feels. You will love how it tastes. You will love creating incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron, so don't wait. Again, no risk involved. 3 free meals, free shipping. That's blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
CLNS Radio's leading online coverage of the Boston Celtics now even more comprehensive than ever. From the Celtics postgame show, to the Garden Report, to CSL, and to Celtics Beat, CLNS Radio's Boston Celtics news feed provides narrated breaking news, game recaps, and news and notes for the NBA's winningest franchise, all provided in real time. Don't have the time to surf the web or search engines and plunge your head into your computer or smartphone to read up on all the latest on the Celtics? No problem. Multitask while listening to CLNS's Celtics news feed. And for the 2016-17 NBA campaign, the Boston Celtics pregame report with myself, Larry H. Russell, will be released on the news feed on game days at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, making it the first pregame report to air anywhere. We will give you a featured interview from someone providing opposing insight, pregame notes, and go on a Celtics draft pick watch, all in just 12 minutes or less. Available on the Boston Celtics news feed on iTunes and Stitcher and the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app.
Hey, this is Nick Gelso, the founder of CLNS Radio, and I just want to take a moment to talk to you about Movement Watches. Movement Watches, if you haven't heard of this company, it started by two broke college kids that wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So what did they do? They started their own company. As you know, CLNS Radio was founded by a bunch of Celtics fans way back in 2009, and from there we started a company that made a career out of it, so we can absolutely relate to the owners of Movement Watches. And let me tell you, I purchased the Chrono Gunmetal watch. This watch is so sleek, black stainless steel, it's light, it's versatile, it's great for dress occasions or even casual affairs. A little bit more about Movement Watches, they start at $95. I purchased the Chrome Gunmetal watch for under $100, and I know with the watch I purchased, you're looking at $400 to $500 in a department store. So give yourself a big discount right in time for the holidays. You can get 15% off today with free shipping, and if you don't like the watch, guess what? You can return it for free. All you have to do is go to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Wait a second, even the name is cool. It's spelled MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Again, go to MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat.
It is the Boston Celtics post-game show right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. Celtics victorious tonight down there in Orlando. Final score over the Orlando Magic, Celtics 117, Orlando 87. It's Patrick Gilroy alongside Sean Backe. We've got Nick Cicento behind the glass. We're taking your phone calls on our Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771, 347-215-7771. Of course, the phone lines, as always, brought to you by our good friends at Movement Watches. Remember, department store watches cost $400 or $500, but our good friends over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out, and they're doing the right thing and passing that savings directly on to you, the fans of the Boston Celtics. Movement Watches are slick, they're fashionable, and most importantly, for a guy like me anyways, they are affordable. They start at just $95, and $95 to be able to look at your wrist and tell time, that's a bit of a bargain. $95. Go on over to movementwatches.com. It's MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. That gets you 15% off your first order. It also gets you free shipping. Again, it's movementwatches.com, MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Gets you 15% off and free shipping. With Christmas coming, the holiday season upon us, if you're like me and have to buy gifts for people that you really don't know all that well, but you'll be judged if you do not give them gifts, then a Movement Watch makes a perfect gift because it looks great, it's affordable, and nobody's going to say, you know what, that guy, that Gilroy guy, he cheaped out. He didn't get me the right gift. They will love the gift of a Movement Watch, and you get to avoid drama in your life. So it's really a win-win situation. Those Movement Watches toll-free phone lines, 347-215-7771. It is to those Movement Watches toll-free phone lines we will go. First up this evening on the Celtics postgame show is Chris in Lexington. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for having me tonight. Just wanted to call in after the impressive game we saw tonight. A couple of points. I thought we did a good job getting Al the ball. He facilitated for us tonight. His shot wasn't falling. It wasn't, you know, his best night shooting the ball. But, you know, he just impacted the game in so many other ways. I believe he led us in assists and maybe was tied for rebounding. I think he might have had close to 10. No, maybe like 6 rebounds, 7 rebounds. Maybe not that many, but, you know, just – impacted the game in so many ways. I thought, you know, we really saw kind of how this team can clamp down when all 5 defenders are strong, you know, kind of without IT. You know, I thought it was quite an impressive showing by the team. I just wanted to give Smart some love because tonight there was one play in particular I believe it was in the fourth quarter, and it was at the end of the shot clock, and he got the ball. They were swinging it around towards the end of the shot clock. He got the ball. He had a three. You know, he let the guy charge at him, and normally he would shoot it, but he kicked it one extra pass to Crowder, who had the wide open three. He ended up hitting it, and it was extremely refreshing to kind of see him recognize, you know, to get the ball to a better shooter, and he did, and he knocked it down. So I thought that was great. So yeah, what do you guys think about that?
Well, going back to your point on Al Horford, Chris, and we appreciate the call. You know, Patrick was talking about this before the break, obviously. You know, you say he was the facilitator tonight, and I agree with that. So while he only had 10 points and he kind of struggled from the field tonight, didn't hit any of his three threes and missed a couple of easy shots around the hoop, the reason why he was able to have eight assists tonight is because the ball movement was so great. And he was making that extra pass. You talked about Smart making that extra pass. Horford was making that extra pass to open shooters who were hitting their shots tonight. And I thought that's what was great about the way the Celtics played tonight. You know, Al Horford, he's, you know, in his career is a 14-9 guy so far this season for the Celtics in, short amount of games. Obviously, there's been 22 games total. I'm not sure how many total that he's played, but he's averaging 15-7. So, you know, right around where his career average is so the rebounds have been down, but the assists have been up. So despite the fact that he's not getting the ball as much and he's not scoring as much as we think he should, and Patrick, I agree with you that he needs to be scoring more, he is doing those other things, like Chris said, to be able to impact the game. Six rebounds, making the extra pass, knowing that maybe he doesn't have it going tonight, so he's going to get the pass to the open shooter. And these guys were hitting their shots tonight.
You're right.
And making that extra pass out to the perimeter for open shots. And Smart
did the
same
thing tonight. How can you think that he should have shot more? I mean, he did everything right tonight. I thought he shot it and he passed.
I do want to defend myself here because I feel like maybe my point was taken out of context. So Al Horford tonight, 10 points. You're right. I mentioned that he did fill up the stat line. He led the team in assists. He had six rebounds. He was a facilitator. He played a good basketball game. Okay, he played a complete basketball game. I get all of that. But Al Horford's also a guy that's capable of so much more on the offensive end. He only shot 9 shots. I don't care if he goes 3-for-9, 1-for-9. It doesn't make a difference to me. He's established himself in the league long enough now. We know his repertoire offensively. Do you think Boogie Cousins cares when he starts 3-for-9? He's not going to take his 10th shot, 11th shot, 12th shot. I just think at some point here, and tonight's a bad example because the Celtics played a complete game. They had 7 guys in double figures. The offense was able to come from other places tonight, so the Celtics didn't need, nor did they miss, Al Horford's offense. But there have been so many games this season where the Celtics desperately needed somebody else to step up offensively, and when you look at the stat line, your all-star big man had an underwhelming night offensively, and that's been the case. Mm-hmm. More often than not, you know, the 26-point outputs, those aren't the norm. You usually have somewhere between 12 and 15 points from Horford. I understand that's close to his career averages, but for this Celtics team, I think they need more from Al Horford because the other guys just aren't reliable yet. Maybe they will be down the line. But Kelly Olynyk had a decent offensive game tonight. Jay Crowder was better offensively tonight. But all of these guys, whether it's due to injury, inconsistency, Terry Rozier, 16 points, we can't expect that from Terry Rozier. There are certain guys on this team that you should be able to lean on and have a minimum expectation for an offensive output. And that's a guy like Al Horford, Avery Bradley, and Isaiah Thomas, and Horford's not been there yet.
You're right. You're right about that. You're right that he has been underwhelming with his offensive presence in some games. But keep in mind, as a big man, he is dependent on the team getting him the ball and in places where he can be effective.
Correct.
So it's not quite as easy as, like, Isaiah Thomas to get his, you know, on a night-in, night-out basis.
You're right. And when I went to break, that's what I said. The Celtics have to rethink the way that they're using him. And that's the point I was trying to make. And I want to keep talking to you about that point right there because Isaiah Thomas is a great offensive player. But there's no question he is an offense-first point guard. He looks for his shot as much as any other point guard in the league, shy of Russell Westbrook. We all know that. Do the Celtics have to make more of a concerted effort, do you think, whether it's – from Isaiah Thomas or from other guys out there to work Horford through the post, to run some early pick and roll, some pick and pops to get his offense going. Much like the Celtics, if you guys remember, earlier on in the Paul Pierce, Antoine Walker era, and I know you have to remember this, the way the Celtics would get Antoine Walker and Paul Pierce going is they would trade off, and they had this great lob-in pass from three, from the top of the key, that would go right over the top and get these guys layups in the first quarter. And the Celtics used that every single game.
He would shield the guy from the basket, and he would throw it right over the top of him.
Exactly. And I'm just wondering, do the Celtics have to do something similar with Al Horford to get him rolling and feeling good about himself offensively so they can rely on their all-star big man so he doesn't miss a layup like he did in Houston to potentially win that game? It's just I'm spitballing ideas here on how
he
to
was
get
tired
the,
from
the
22
best.
Shots he was taking Monday night. That's what it was.
so my
no,
man
no,
would hurt
you're
the
right.
Celtics.
And you know what? You're right. And if you listen to Brad Stevens' post-game comments, he mentioned that that the team focused tonight on getting the ball, down to the post and working inside out, and that's how this team, runs its offense most effectively. And I just think that, at times I think IT has gotten a little, a little too used to kind of running things his way. And I think he's been extremely effective at that. You know, there's no bigger IT fan than I, from the first game he was traded to us, he has been exactly what we needed. But I do think for this team to realize its full potential, particularly in the playoffs, that they do need to get used to really running things through Al, on the high post, down the block, wherever, because IT, he really is almost most effective as an off-ball scorer in a lot of ways. And that's why I do like, having him and Marcus on the same at the same time on the floor. But I think you bring up some good points. But I think Coach has been emphasizing that. And if it's something that hasn't been being emphasized, and then the last two games has been a lot better. The Houston game, he certainly was extremely effective and had the ball a lot. And tonight he did too. His shot wasn't falling. So if we can keep this up, I think we're going to be in good shape.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you're right. And look, it's a work in progress, and that's the thing that I have to keep telling myself here, and we appreciate the call. Chris, don't be a stranger to the show. I love guys that know their stuff, and you can have a good back and forth. And anytime that I can reference an Antoine Walker to Paul Pierce play from probably 15 years ago, and the caller gets it, Sean, then that's the kind of caller I want to talk to more often.
Absolutely.
That's the team we grew up with. The team I grew up with anyways. I don't know how old you are, but I'm in my mid-30s. That was my squad. The Celtics had been terrible for so long throughout my entire childhood, and I was the only kid in school that loved the Celtics when everybody else loved Michael Jordan, the Chicago Bulls, and the Charlotte Hornets because they were freaking teal and purple. And that's the only reason why they liked them. And my Celtics, were rocking out there with your Ala Abdel Nabi jersey and Todd Day jersey. It wasn't working. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I come from the days of the early and mid '80s when the now 60-year-old Larry Bird, which still baffles me, was roaming the earth and just absolutely destroying every team out there. It was funny just watching highlights of him today, as the social media world was celebrating his 60th birthday, and just amazed at him excelling at every facet of the game. And the game is so much different today. And, there's still – I still love the Celtics. I still love watching NBA basketball. But it'll never be how it was back then. And even in the mid-90s, late 90s, when Pierce and Walker were, the dynamic duo with the Celtics and, in that playoff game against the Nets where they came back in the fourth quarter, one that I'll never forget. With those two guys, I wanted them to succeed so bad and raise the banner with employee number 8 with them. It wasn't meant to be. They went a different way, and obviously we know what happened after that. Many years of struggling watching the Celtics before they finally came back to win a championship game again. But they'll get back there. This organization is on its way, headed back to where we all expect them to be.
Well, Sean, you're right. But one thing that I do worry about a little bit, and we're not going to get off on this subject all night tonight. I think this subject is more of a, you know, weekend Celtics programming special on CLNS.
Yeah. Because we could go forever on that, yeah.
Absolutely, we could. But one thing that does concern me about this particular edition, and when I say this edition, I don't mean this year, but this window. So this group of Celtics from the last couple of years, let's say from the Isaiah Thomas trade forward, what worries me is you said that the Celtics went a different way when referencing the Paul Pierce, Antoine Walker teams. Oh, they went a very different way because the guy that was running the organization was Danny Ainge. And Danny Ainge very publicly said during the post game of a playoff game against the Pacers that, no, this team isn't it. And the Celtics aren't just trying to make the playoffs and win conference championships. If the team isn't good enough in his eyes to compete for an NBA championship, then he's going to do something about it. And what did Danny Ainge do? He quickly dismantled that team. He stripped it all down again, starting with the trade of Antoine Walker. And the only player that remained was really Paul Pierce. And Paul Pierce nearly was shipped out of here more than once. Danny Ainge was all too willing to trade Paul Pierce early on in his prime. So what worries me about this particular edition of the Celtics, an edition that we've all come to know and come to love because of their heart, their grind, their hustle over the last few years, is at some point in the next year or two, Danny Ainge might come to the realization that, you know, Paul George isn't coming here, Jimmy Butler's not coming here, a true NBA elite scorer isn't coming here, and even if that guy does get here, that guy might not be enough to put this team over the top, depending on how long you feel LeBron James is going to be able to play in his prime, and depending on how long you feel Golden State will be able to keep up what they're doing. We'll know a lot more about Golden State in about 12 months. Does Steph Curry re-up? Are they able to re-sign Kevin Durant? Are these guys all in it for the long haul? But if the answer is yes, and the NBA championship window or that group of teams that can crack open that window becomes that much smaller, and if Danny Ainge doesn't feel that the Celtics are legitimately one of those teams, if there's one thing we've learned about Danny Ainge over the years, is he's not emotionally attached to anybody on his roster, be it Paul Pierce, be it Kevin Garnett, be it Isaiah Thomas, or be it Al Horford. And if he doesn't feel that this team is good enough to compete, we've seen him do it before, he will do it again, and he will blow this thing up faster than you can say, Banner 18. It is the Celtics post-game show right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com, Patrick Gilroy, Sean Backe. Celtics win tonight in Orlando, final score 117-87. We've got Nick Cecento behind the glass, and you know we're talking about Al Horford, his importance to the Celtics specifically on the offensive end. I think the Celtics need to work harder to get Al Horford more involved early and often in these games. I don't think nine shot attempts from your all-star big man is acceptable ever. I don't think that that's something the Celtics should ever allow. This guy should be a 13, 14, 15 shot attempt guy minimum. His offensive repertoire is just too big, too large. He could do too much on the floor for the Celtics to waste a guy on nine shot attempts. Nick Cecento, I don't know how you feel, but you're a big Celtics guy, as big as anybody that I know. Are you okay with the way the Celtics are using Horford?
In general, yeah, I'd say so. I think I agree with you to the extent that we could expect more from Al Horford in the points department. But I think that, you know, to, you know, give the caller credit, Chris from Lexington, a little bit of credit in the sense that this was a blowout, you know what I mean? So it wasn't exactly necessary that we had Al Horford, you know, come in there and score another, you know, 20 points or have another, you know, big offensive explosion like he did the other night where he had that fantastic game. And in one sense, what you get from Al Horford and what I think that he was brought in here for as much as anything else is that he's an extremely talented passing big man. I won't use the term center. I'll almost use the term center. Big man. He's an extremely talented passing big man. How often do you get 8 assists from a big man on any team? It's very rare that you have someone like that. And I think the fact that he was willing to recognize maybe his shots weren't, you know, coming, maybe he wasn't getting the ball where he needed to get the ball, as you're saying, you know, he didn't get those, you know, the specific plays ran for him that we would have liked to have seen, but he recognized whatever was happening in the offense tonight, and he used the talents that he has to distribute the ball and got 8 assists for the team. And I think that, as much as anything else, propelled this this team to such a large victory, in addition to the fact that, you know, Kelly Olynyk got extended run. I think he played a few more minutes than he typically does. He got 20 minutes. Jaylen Brown definitely got, and that'll be, the, I think, a good transition to talk about Jaylen Brown at some point, definitely got a lot more minutes than he generally does in most games. And maybe some of those minutes, you know, where Horford would have typically played, you know, 35 minutes in a game. All the other starters, or the usual starters, got their 30 minutes a game. Al Horford took a little bit of a hit on those minutes so that, you know, some of those other players could get some run in a game that was pretty much, you know, taken care of by, you know, midway through the third quarter.
Well, you're right, Nick, but I'll tell you what, what's really drove home this point for me, and maybe I'm just way off base here. It's tough to do this following a game where the Celtics win so big, right? And everybody else steps up and they make up for any lack of offense that Al Horford gives you. But in preparation for the show, I knew this was something I wanted to talk about because Horford was coming off a big point output in Houston. And every time I see him perform that way, I say, geez, the Celtics could really use some more of that. I went back, and he's missed just about half the games thus far this season, a combination of the concussion and the birth of his child. All that being said, I can blow through this list real quick. Here is points per game. 11, 11, 14, 18, 20, 17, 12, 9, 26, and 11. It's incredibly underwhelming. 1, 2, 11-point games, a 9-point game, a 12-point game, and more than half. He's only cracked 20 twice so far this season. It's just, that's not okay. I feel like the Celtics need more, and they don't need 20 every night. What they do need is 15, 16. If those 11s were 15 or 16, I don't think that this would be nearly as noticeable as it's become to me. And, yeah, in those 11-point games, if you dig deeper into the stat line, he gave you double-digit rebounds, 3 or 4 block shots. One game he had 6 block shots. So unlike other guys where they're not engaged when their shot isn't falling or they're not getting enough attempts, you can never criticize Al Horford for that. He doesn't need his offense to be going to become or to be a complete player on any given night. So many guys in this league check out because offensively either their teammates aren't getting them involved or they are involved, but their shot isn't going down. So then they check out defensively. They check out rebounding the basketball, and their frustration overwhelms them. They become an ineffective member of their team. Al Horford is incredibly effective throughout all of these games. He fills up that stat line. He's become one of the premier shot-blocking big men in the league, and that's shocking. I know it's shocking to you, Nick. We've talked about this before, but he's somebody that this season – is blocking shots at a record pace for Al Horford. You know, rebounding, he's up over last year. He's still not a dominant rebounder, but he's never been a dominant rebounder. He's up over last year. Assist-wise, he's averaging career numbers. So it's tough to pick the guy apart when he's doing so much right. And when you look at the overall stat line, he's up over his career numbers. Career, he averages 14.5. This year, he's giving you 15.5. So again, it's tough to pick the guy apart, but I just look at a guy that can offer so much on the offensive end. He can do so many things well. Last year, we saw the Celtics run a pretty effective pick and roll play with Amir Johnson, a pretty effective pick and pop play with Jared Sullinger. This guy, Al Horford, can do both and do both better than Amir and Jared Sullinger can. And he's one singular guy. And I'm not seeing the Celtics, Isaiah Thomas, running that pick and roll, pick and pop, the way that he did with those guys with regularity. I see it occasionally, but I see Al Horford spend much more time out there on the floor setting screens and getting other people like an Avery Bradley or a Jay Crowder an open shot because of a great screen that he sets rather than getting the ball himself and becoming that offensive presence that I think the Celtics need, especially as we head into 2017 and the playoffs, you know, are 4 or 5 months away. I don't want the Celtics to be trying something new come playoff time. I feel like they've got a guy now. If you go back to the Atlanta series last year, you put Al Horford on the Celtics, and a healthy Al Horford. He wasn't healthy last year, so I'm not saying take that version of him, but take this version of Al Horford. It's exactly what you need come playoff time, a big man that can score the basketball in multiple ways, whether it's scoring it by himself in the post or using his teammates to complete a pick and roll, a pick and pop, some sort of a screen play that gets Al Horford open. I hope the Celtics start utilizing all of the tools and the intangibles that Al Horford has to offer, because I just think he's much more of a complete offensive player than the guy that we've seen thus far this year.
Well, Pat, let me just throw throw something to you real quick, and then I'll let Sean Backey jump back in. I don't mean to take up all Sean's time. Just real quick, just real quick, because we're talking about Al Horford, and I'm looking at Basketball Reference, which I know that Pat's looking at as well. He's played 12 games this season, and of those 12 games, he's only had one game where he didn't score in double digits. And of those 12 games that he played, six of them he scored over 15 points. All right, so in on top of that, out of all those games, this was only the second time in those 12 games that he's played where he played less than 30 minutes. So, I mean, he didn't get his typical minutes, and I think the production that you're expecting out of him, he's averaging 15.5 points, I think. The production you're expecting out of him, I think he's more than what we as fans want to see him do and be the, you know, this big scorer, this big-time scorer, and, you know, inhale all the rebounds and do all that. I think more than anything, what he's doing is he's fitting into the system that Brad Stevens wants him to fill. Because if it were up to, you know, Brad Stevens, and Brad Stevens wanted to get him these shots and these opportunities that you think that he should be getting, he would be getting them. He'd be running those plays. But he's not running those plays. He's not getting Al Horford those pick-and-pops, those screen and rolls, all those shots that you want him to get. But he is producing in multiple ways that are getting the rest of the team opportunities and shots, and that's something that really needs to happen with these players. Because if you look at the players that we have, this is a team of players that nobody thought, you know, 2 years ago were going to be worth anything. 2 years ago they were saying we have every team's sixth best player. You know what I mean? We didn't have any legitimate players, and now we have Jay Crowder, who's a very coveted commodity around the league. We have Avery Bradley, who's coming out and probably on track to be an all-star this season if he doesn't get robbed, but he should be an all-star given the way that he's playing. And then we have guys like, you know, Marcus Smart, who may need some of the extra opportunities or may need some of the extra, you know, talent there. And then, of course, Isaiah Thomas, who wasn't there tonight. And we needed somebody to distribute the ball, and now Horford had the talent and the ability to take over that position. So just, you know, throwing out there those statistics that he is putting up those stats. They may be slightly inconsistent. He's not giving us 20 points as often as maybe we'd like. But I think that he's fitting into Brad Stevens' system as much as anything else.
And what I was going to say, Patrick, was, you know, obviously to follow up on your point, you know, I'll give you this. In the next three games, this three-game stretch here, tough stretch for the Celtics, if we're looking at Al Horford's stats and he's shooting 3 of 9 with 10 points in any of those games, I'd say that they probably don't have much of a chance to win those games to do that. They're going to need Al Horford to step up and, you know, and utilize those skills that he has. Not only to be the facilitator, but to create his own offense as well, whether that's on the block, whether that's hitting an outside shot, whether that's hitting a three, you know, whatever the case may be, they're going to need him to be more productive on the offensive end than just shooting 9 shots and 10 points. We need all the other things that he did well tonight with the 8 assists and the 6 rebounds and the 2 blocks and just, you know, being there to make the extra pass and things like that. But you're right, that offensive production does need to go up. Particularly in this next few game stretch, especially if Isaiah Thomas isn't able to play in a game Friday or, you know, maybe Sunday against the Thunder.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I don't mean to pick Al Horford apart. I think he's had a nice season. He certainly had to come back from the concussion, integrate himself into a new team, a new coach, a new point guard, a new city, the birth of his child. There's a lot of other outside factors that are in play here, and I fully expect Al Horford to get better and better and better as the season goes along. But it's how much better will he get? Because quite frankly, offensively, he's doing what he's always done. That's kind of my point. I feel like the Celtics have got relatively high playoff aspirations this year. And again, yes, tonight, Terry Rozier had a nice night. Kelly Olynyk gave you 9 points. Jaylen Brown gave you 13 points. So it's a tough night to have this conversation. But, Nick, you said something where, you know, he's doing what Brad wants him to do because it's important to get these other guys going. I get that. I totally agree with that for the most part. But I also think that under no circumstances, in no way, shape, or form, is 9 shots enough for Al Horford, whether it's his fault, the coach's fault, the point guard's fault. And I would also challenge you and say I would rather Al Horford. I think he's a better offensive option than Kelly Olynyk, than Jaylen Brown, than Jonas Jerebko, than Terry Rozier. So if Al Horford is sacrificing his own personal shots to get those guys off, I don't know if that's the right basketball move, the right basketball play for this team to make if their primary goal is to succeed in the playoffs. If they have 2 primary goals, and that's to succeed in the playoffs while continuing to groom and grow the young talent, well, then this whole thing is going to get a lot messier than it, you know, than we anticipated. Because, again, it's very difficult in the NBA. We all know it. It's very rare that you've got teams doing both things at the same time. What the Celtics have been asked to do because of the trade for these Nets picks is groom a potential star in Jaylen Brown, is continue to groom what was once considered a potential star in Marcus Smart. It's continue to get the most out of guys like Jonas Jerebko and build up his value, continue to see Avery Bradley emerge and change his game, become more dynamic year in and year out, and do all of those things, allowing those guys to thrive and doing it while sometimes sacrificing wins because you gave Jaylen Brown extended minutes and you lived with the rookie mistakes, because you gave Marcus Smart consecutive starts and you lived with the boneheaded plays and you lived with him losing his temper and flopping and flipping and doing what he does out there, being a circus act rather than a basketball player. These are all things you have to live with if you make the decision that you want to groom your young talent and still try and win basketball games. And I don't think it has to be mutually exclusive where you decide, okay, I'm going to groom young talent at the expense of wins. But sometimes I feel like you're grooming young talent at the expense of wins. And it's our job here as analysts to say, what can the Celtics do to try and serve two evils? And it's a very difficult job. It's one that I don't envy. Brad Stevens has got one of the tougher jobs in the NBA, not just because he's in Boston and there's expectations here. It's because he's in Boston with the second youngest roster in the NBA with expectations. So it's a very complicated way to look at it. And I think Al Horford is a guy that, because he's such a willing passer, such a dynamic player, it's easy to ask Al Horford to be a facilitator sometimes out there. But I also think Brad Stevens needs to man up sometimes and do the difficult thing and force Al Horford to be a much more substantial, much more diligent and belligerent offensive player. So that's all I'm saying. I think the Celtics can get more out of Horford. And when you look at a box score and you see that he goes 3-for-9, and there's been too many games this season, we're not going to do it now, where he hasn't taken double-digit shots. 9 shots is never enough for an all-star big man who is still in his prime. It is the Celtics post-game show. It's right here, CLNS Radio, clnsradio.com. The Celtics victorious this evening down there in Orlando. Final score, 117-87. The Celtics look good defensively, offensively. You saw the number. You heard the number, 117 points, when Isaiah Thomas was on a plane headed back to Boston to get treatment on that hamstring. A very impressive victory and a very difficult 3-game stretch of basketball, even 4-game stretch of basketball, lies ahead for this Celtics team. So many questions, so many things that the Celtics fans still aren't sure of 40 days in to the regular season. When we come back here in the Celtics post-game show, I do want to look at the road ahead. What do the Celtics need to do, Sean Backe and Nick Sosento, to come back home and to get a victory Friday against their conference, their division rivals, the team they're chasing, the team they are just a game and a half behind, that is the Toronto Raptors. I think the Celtics need to play a near-perfect basketball game. Interested to hear your thoughts and your thoughts on the Movement Watch's toll-free phone line, 347-215-7771. It is CLNS Radio and clnsradio.com.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast, which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the hottest of takes and get the lowdown on all things Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcasters John Duke and Justin Poulin have returned. Available Mondays on clnsradio.com. Celtics Stuff Live is back and better than ever before, with featured guests that are the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is heating up, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the CLNS Radio mobile app now, available for your iPhone and Android.
I'm Jared Weiss, host of the Garden Report Celtics postgame show, which is the only full-length, high-definition postgame show shot in the Garden after every Celtics home game. I'm joined by a rotating crew of some of the best reporters covering the Celtics after every game. The Garden Report takes you inside the locker room with player and coach interviews in full high definition. So subscribe to the CLNS Radio YouTube channel by going to youtube.com/CLNS Radio to catch every episode of the Garden Report and every full-length coach and player press conference at each Celtics home game. You can also listen to The Garden Report and all the player interviews as a podcast by subscribing to The Garden Report on iTunes and Stitcher or by visiting the CLNS Radio app in the App Store.
I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
CLNS Radio. CLNSradio.com. It is the Celtics post-game radio program. We're here with you after each and every single Celtics game all season long. I mean, it's great for you guys, great for us to know that you have got a home after each and every single Celtics game. If you listen to major network radio, they're supposed to take Celtics phone calls following the Celtics game, and you think they would, or you would hope that they would, on the Celtics flagship stations, but they don't. They just don't. You know, today, Chris Sale dominated talk all day long, and the moment the game went off the air, it was more Chris Sale talk. It's okay, but that's the reality of where the Celtics are. They're just not competing for a championship the way the Patriots are, the way the Red Sox are. So until they are, and you're looking for your Celtics outlet, because I look at the CSN numbers, I look at the Sports Hub Radio Network's numbers, there are so many people watching and listening to these games. So I know you're out there. I know you're looking for a home, a place to call your own after each and every Celtics game. And if you're like me and you're a diehard and you watch these games and whether the Celtics win or lose, and depending on the fashion in which they win or lose, I used to have such trouble going to sleep because my adrenaline would either be going after a great victory, or I'd be devastated. If I were just a fan and I didn't have the therapy of hosting the show 48 hours ago following that Rockets loss, I would have laid there or sat there in my easy chair for hours replaying the last 10 seconds of that game, replaying Isaiah Thomas's missed layup, replaying Al Horford's missed layup, and wondering what the Celtics could have done differently to get that victory. And then it would have got crazy sometime after 1 a.m. and a handful of drinks and hit rewind on the DVR, hoping that the next time I press play, the outcome would be different. And I know I'm not alone in being that guy. So
no.
It's not lost on me, Sean, as we host these shows after each and every game. It's pretty special for us to be able to sit here and have the honor and the pleasure of talking about the 17-time world champions on such a large network. But it's also pretty special for the fans out there to have a place, to have a home where they know they don't have to worry about, oh, are we going to be talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and Jacoby Brissett, or are we going to talk about Chris Sale and David Price and how Chris Sale coming to Boston might screw with David Price's already fragile head? No, you don't get that here. It's an hour to 90 minutes of dedicated Celtics programming. And for Celtics fans, I wish I had that growing up. I wish that I had that outlet growing up. And I think it's pretty cool that it's now provided to them by CLNS and CLNSradio.com.
There's really no better place to be a fan of the Celtics and to be able to participate in the post game show as a caller. I mean, that's how I started. You know, when I came to CLNS 5 years ago now, that's how I started, was calling into Celtics post game shows to be able to vent, because, you know, obviously, that was sort of the beginning of the end of that Pierce Garnett Allen era. You know, we saw what happened in 2012 with them, but so there was the ups and downs of those seasons and expecting them to go back to the finals and win again. You know, if you're a fan of this team, even if you're not a fan of this team and you want to call in and criticize them, and you know, there's no better place to be able to do that, to be able to vent as a fan, to be able to be a Celtics homer, to bleed green with the rest of us. So, you know, if you're not happy with, you know, not being able to interact as a Celtics fan after watching a game or listening to a game, this is the place you need to be after every single Boston Celtics game.
Well, listen, that's one of the fantastic things about CLNS Radio, and that's one of the fantastic things about being an entrepreneur in the United States, is that you find a market that hasn't been covered, that there's a demand for a product or for a service, and then you fill that need, you fill that demand. And CLNS has been doing that now for what? I think this is their seventh season. I think they started in 2009. I started calling probably around the same time that Backy jumped in, around 2000. I think I started calling around 2011. It was just before that 2012 season. And I started writing just little small articles and tidbits and you know, updates for the website, like actual written articles. And they found a market that hadn't been covered by anybody, and they filled that need. They filled, you know, the demand for that service. And look at it now. They've, you know, expanded to the point where, you know, simulcast and being, you know, having the podcast broadcast on ESPN New Hampshire, thanks to folks like you, Patrick Gilroy. And I mean, that's what America's all about. That's what makes America great, is that you can fill that, you can find, you know, that market, you can find that niche, you can fill it, and then you can be successful doing it.
Wow, you know,
CLNS Radio, hell yeah.
Look at that. And I had no idea when I started kissing ass to open this segment in hopes that Nick would send me a bonus check because Christmas is almost here. I didn't know we were going to get into a Make America Great Again type of promotion, but hell, why not? You know, it's a crazy Wednesday night.
We'll make the Celtics great again at least.
I bet we will. So it is CLNS Radio. Celtics victorious tonight, 117-87 in Orlando. Another quality road win. Celtics have now won four out of their last five games on the road. Really had an opportunity to win six straight. That one-point loss continues to really irk me in Houston. The Celtics gave up a lead in the fourth quarter. They allowed Houston to go on a 10-2 run. And then they get the benefit of the doubt with that Marcus Smart flagrant foul call, and they're given new life, and they're unable to capitalize. And what bothers me the most is if they had taken, let's say, a bad three and missed, no big deal. But they had two chances by their two best players to hit layups, each individual opportunity to hit a layup to win the game with less than 10 seconds to go, and they're unable to capitalize. And now Isaiah Thomas is hurt. But I am proud of what the Celtics accomplished tonight, because to lose a game just 48 hours ago in that fashion, a devastating fashion, you better believe it was a tough bus ride to the airport and a tough flight to Orlando for that group. If it hurt us as fans, of course it hurt those guys as players. They knew that they had an opportunity to steal a good road win, and they blew the opportunity. But then to come out tonight and play without their best player, without their singular, most offensively gifted guy, and to do it and to win in a way where not only do you win, you blow the other team out while they're at home. They had been red hot. Orlando had won three in a row, some impressive victories in that three-game stretch, and they blew doors off the Orlando Magic in the second half. And we'd be remiss if we let the whole program go by without talking about a couple of guys, and Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier, who were both big offensive contributors in that second half when the Celtics blew this thing wide open. Really impressive. You know, the Celtics started the season with Jaylen Brown in the starting lineup. He played extended minutes the first handful of games. And then it seems like after that 19-point outburst against Cleveland, his minutes have been dwindling, let's say. And he's no longer a guy that you know is going to get his 20 minutes a night. Some nights he does. Other nights he doesn't. Tonight he gets his 20 minutes. He goes out there, gets eight shots up, hits five of them, showed us a little bit of everything, Sean. And I think that's what was most impressive to me about Jaylen. He had a couple of his Sports Center highlight electric dunks, and that's great to see. But he also went one for three from three. Most of his three-point opportunities, his attempts looked pretty good. They were all taken within the flow of the game for the most part. But today he looked like a pretty mature 20-year-old kid out there.
Yeah, it's funny because a week ago when I was on the post-game show, and Nick will remember this, Jared Scally and I were talking about him hitting the rookie wall, and he was struggling, and he wasn't getting the minutes. He wasn't, playing in crunch time. And, 1 week later, he's gotten a little bit of an opportunity. I was saying back then that he needed just a little bit of confidence to be built back up again, to be able to go out there and perform, maybe make a play on defense, maybe make a good pass or a steal, and just to kind of get him going. And that's exactly what he's been able to do. So, he could be a key piece off the bench here for the Celtics to be able to go out there. Tonight he played 21 minutes, 5 of 8 shooting. Like you said, his shots were in the flow of the game. He did have the explosive dunk. We'll see. Vucevic get posterized. And even got poked in the eye for it as well. He played a great game tonight. And I think his confidence is building. And if they can have him contributing like this night in and night out, that's going to be a big help, particularly on nights when, you're missing a guy like Isaiah Thomas and you need a little bit of a scoring punch. You're going to have guys like Smart or Rozier that are going to be the ball handlers and the facilitators. So for him to be able to find his offense and basically get that started off of great defensive play. And, he did have a couple of turnovers, a couple of sloppy plays that, that led to Orlando getting the ball back, but, nothing that was really too devastating. And, you had other guys like Rozier, obviously we talked about, struggled with the shot a little bit, but, just great contributions off the bench tonight, really. I mean, you said it earlier, Patrick, 7 players in double figures tonight, so they really spread it around. And I think they had the right game plan going into this, particularly in the second half. You said they blew them out in the second half. They were down at halftime by 1 point, and they blew them out by 30. So that's how explosive their second half was, and that's how much they were able to lock down on defense. And it was the reserves that really did that really helped out. Jonas Jerebko didn't have any points tonight, but he was out there, for 14 minutes and was a plus 15 if you put any stock in plus minus in the NBA. I don't in particular. I think it's more of a hockey stat, but these are the types of contributions that they're getting that they need to get, particularly in the stretch coming up next 3-4 games. You got very tough teams. Couple of them against teams that are right there with you in the conference that you need to have. So if they can, if we talk about the near future for the Celtics, the next week and a half, if they can split these next 4 games or maybe get 3 out of 4, which is going to be a very, very tall task, they're going to be in a great position. But, I'd be happy with a split 2-2 in the next 4 games.
Yeah, I think that I'm pretty much in agreement with that. Would it be nice to see them go 4-0, 3-1? Of course it would. But you need to be realistic based on what we've seen so far this year. And again, I do fully expect at some point this year, and hopefully in the next 30 days or so, for this team to get their groove back and to sort of get that swag back that we've come to know and expect from this team. I just don't see it happening yet. Even if Isaiah Thomas comes back on Friday, and I'm not sure he will, but let's say that he does, people coming off a hamstring injury, and he's somebody that eyes on his athleticism so much and his ability to change pace with the basketball so much. He's so deceptively fast out there. How many times have we seen him break somebody's ankles with that one-handed crossover where he just does it with one hand? He doesn't even complete the crossover, and he's broken somebody's ankles. There are very few people capable of doing what he does offensively, but he relies on every single muscle in that 5-7-inch body to be the player that he is. And I think NBA fans, I'm not saying he's Allen Iverson, but NBA fans have seen it with these diminutive guys before. When their athleticism goes, when they're unable to be the fastest guy on the court, the most deceptively quick guy on the court, when they're no longer that guy, their games fall off so quickly. Allen Iverson, it seemed like from the moment that his decline began, it took him 2 seasons and he was out of the league. There wasn't even a bench role for him, and he was begging for a bench role, couldn't get one. Because once you lose that, once you're no longer that guy, you're not like Paul Pierce, who's so well-rounded and so strong and so able to play the 2, the 3, the 4, and the 5. When you're 5'7" or 5'9", you just can't do that. So I think that it's up to the Celtics to make sure that when this guy comes back, when Isaiah comes back, he's back at as close to 100% as they can get him, because you don't want Isaiah fighting that hamstring for an extended period of time. Hamstrings can go one of two ways. They either heal and the player moves on, or it gets dramatically worse. You can tear it. You can rupture it. You can have such a pull that you can't play for an extended period of time. And the Celtics don't have that luxury. I think tonight you saw what the Celtics can be without Isaiah Thomas. But if you expect the Celtics to be able to rely on Terry Rozier to give you 16 and rely on Jaylen Brown to give you 13 and rely on this team to play the sort of defensive game that they played tonight, I'm sorry. I'm just not there yet, because there's no evidence over a long period of time to support that point of view. And maybe this team will become that team at some point, but they're not there yet. So I think it's really difficult to be Brad Stevens right now. You look at this four-game stretch. It is a critical four-game stretch. There are conference rivals here. There are teams that you are fighting for playoff positioning for. And again, if we're feeling like the Celtics have been wildly inconsistent this year, I'm sure Brad Stevens is feeling that same frustration level that we're feeling, if not 10 times worse. And he wants his team to be healthy, and he wants them to get their groove back. And it's very difficult to do that while you're continuing to have major impact players sort of sliding in and out of the lineup. And it's been happening all year long. Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk, of course, Al Horford and Jay Crowder, and now Isaiah Thomas. That's like your starting lineup that's all missed games this season. So, again, I encourage the Celtics to be patient with Isaiah Thomas, because if there's one thing we know about Isaiah, and by the way, it was the first time he missed a game in like 107 games. He doesn't miss games. We've seen him go down with a wrist injury, play through it. We've seen him go down with ankle injuries, play through them. I think the Celtics were smart this time. This isn't a bone. This isn't a bruise. This is a hamstring, Sean. And you've watched sports long enough to know that a hamstring is very touch and go. And if you don't handle it the right way, it can get ugly.
Is it a hamstring? I thought it was a groin. And I mean, I don't think I'd want to do anything with a groin injury. Never mind play basketball. I don't think I'd want to do anything with
it. It's both. So if you look at the way it was reported, multiple outlets had it as a hamstring, others had it as a groin. What I've been told is the muscles essentially connected to each other. So it's pick your poison, but it's the same muscle group, and it's a matter of you can hurt it the same way. His is a little bit lower than your groin, but a little bit above your hamstring. So they were sort of wrestling on what to call the injury. Call it a groin, call it a hamstring. Either way, it's a muscle, and muscles can heal or muscles can bend and stretch and pop. And the Celtics don't want this guy on the shelf for a long period of time.
Well, yeah, and this is an injury that could linger on. If he doesn't take the rest that he needs, this is something that can stay with him for the season, and that's obviously gonna play with his effectiveness. Groin injuries are tough to play, tough to do anything with. Never mind play basketball and cut and jump and do all the things that Isaiah Thomas does so well. So, for him to be able to go out there and be as effective as we've seen him be, he needs to be as healthy as possible. And of course, the way he plays the game, I doubt he's, ever at 100% during the season, just because of how hard he plays. But, like you said, you've got a stretch coming up where you have four teams, two of them that you're, competing against in the Eastern Conference. You go into Friday night's game, you're at home. The Raptors are on a second night of a back-to-back where they have to play a Timberwolves team that, can give some people trouble on some nights, and hopefully they will, tomorrow night against the Raptors. But, DeMar DeRozan is out of his mind right now. He's averaging 28 points a game. You got Kyle Lowry averaging almost 8 assists a game. You got guys like Patterson and Ross off the bench. Valanciunas averaging, 10 rebounds a game, in a presence in the paint. So they're going to have to bring their A game starting this Friday against a team like that can, put up big numbers against you. And obviously you don't want to have that happen on your home floor on a Friday night where, a lot of people are going to be watching. And we're getting to the point in the season, where we're still early in December, but we're getting to the point where these games are going to start to really matter, especially the conference games. So if you're losing to a team like Toronto, losing to a team like Charlotte, these are the types of losses that can come back to haunt you later in the season when you're jockeying for position You know, you're in the three seed now, but you're tied with Charlotte. If you have a loss against them, that drops you down to four. Maybe you drop down to five, and then you're not in home field advantage. So although we're still only, you know, 22 games into the season, you know, that 82nd game is going to come up pretty quick, and you don't want to have to wait till the last minute, especially when you're playing these conference games. So these are the games they have to get. But they have a very, very talented Raptors team coming into the building Friday night, so they're going to have to be at 100%.
Absolutely. It's not going to be an easy task, but it's one that I hope and I think the Celtics are up to at this point in the game, at this point in the season. They are. It's hard to believe at the quarter point of the season. And, you know, it seems to happen very quickly every single year here. But before we know it, Christmas is going to come and go. January will be here, and we'll already start talking about the halfway point, the All-Star break, the trade deadline. Those shows, which are some of my favorite shows to do, by the way, are going to be here before we know it. It's my hope, Sean, it's my hope, Nick, that by the time we get to those shows, by the time that dominates our radio programming here on CLNS, the talk about potential trades, the trade deadline, where the Celtics are halfway through the season, is it where you expected them to be? What can they do to get back in position to be a true playoff threat? That whole litany of programming is so fun and so exciting, and it's going to be here before we know it. But it's my hope that the Celtics have at least got themselves close to forming an identity at that point in the season. I think through the first quarter of the season, their identity has been up and down. It's been questionable. I don't think you can look at the Celtics and say, that's my Celtics, they're a defensive juggernaut, or that's my Celtics, they're an offensive machine. I think that it's been sort of hit and miss and touch and go as the season has gone along here. And whether that's due to injury, inconsistency, bringing an all-star in, losing a dedicated rebounder in Sellinger, losing one of your fourth quarter closers in Evan Turner, whatever the reasons aren't so important as the season sort of jumps past the quarter point and heads towards the halfway point. Reasons are only excuses. And one thing that we've learned about Brad Stevens is that he's incredibly gifted at adjusting on the fly as things go along, and he will get the most out of the guys that he's got on his roster this year. But it's going to take these guys all being healthy for an extended period of time to allow Brad to do his job. It's my hope that once Isaiah Thomas comes back, that Brad Stevens is gifted at least a 30-day period where he can get to know his team as a whole and as one unit, so everybody can begin to settle into their roles and thrive in their roles. Otherwise, you're going to continue to see the up and down performances of guys, specifically the young guys, because I think the veterans can do it. We learned that lesson last year with Tyler Zeller. Tyler Zeller would sit for 6-7 game stretches, then get called upon and give Brad a 12-point output, a 14-point output, sit for another week, come in and give you 10-8, because he was a veteran. He knew how to prepare himself and handle it. Jaylen Brown cannot be expected to be that guy. Terry Rozier cannot be expected to be that guy. They're just not there yet. So to get the most out of these guys, especially the young guys, the team is going to need to be healthy and consistent for an extended period of time. This post-game show will be available because, let's face it, if you listened once, you want to listen again. It's going to be available for on-demand listening. All you need to do is search the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher, as well as on the CLNS Radio mobile podcast app. You want to follow CLNS Radio on social media. It's at CLNS Radio on Twitter. And you want to like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/CLNS fans. Also, ESPN Radio. It's ESPN Radio New Hampshire, ESPNNHradio.com. You find them on Twitter at ESPNNH/New Hampshire Radio. You find us on Facebook, ESPN New Hampshire. So there's many, 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 many ways to find us at ESPNNH on Twitter and, of course, on Facebook. Today's show was brought to you by Blue Apron. You love Blue Apron. I love Blue Apron. We all love Blue Apron. We've all had an opportunity to use Blue Apron. And let me tell you something. The food is great. It ships in this incredible, like, refrigerated box, shows up here once a week. And my wife, my kids, we're all doing it together. We don't do a lot of stuff together like that because we're busy people. Blue Apron forces you to put down the homework, to turn off the TV, and to be a family unit for a little while. And sometimes, much like Brad Stevens needs to force the ball into Al Horford and not let him decide to be a facilitator, sometimes you need external things around you to force you into being a true family unit. Blue Apron has been that gift to my family. So what you need to do is head on over to blueapron.com/CLNS. It gets you three free, delicious meals, and free shipping. How do you beat that? We're all trying to save money come holiday time. Three meals in the next few weeks will be free. All you need to do is head on over blueapron.com/CLNS. Gets you three free meals, gets you free shipping. It was also brought to you by our friends at Movement Watches. It's MVMT Watches. Head on over to movementwatches.com, MVMTwatches.com/CelticsBeat. Gets you 15% off that first purchase. Also gets you free shipping. One more sponsor to tonight's program. That's three sponsors, one program. Not bad. Audible.com. What you want to do is head on over to audiblepodcast.com/try now. Gets you a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Our music tonight was provided by Joshua Morse, and we want to thank all of today's callers, everybody who tuned in to what was a pretty exciting Wednesday night program as the Celtics beat the Orlando Magic. Let me just say one thing about our sponsors here. If you paid attention and you listened, I'm telling you guys, you get three free meals, okay? Three free meals. And these meals are like serious meals. These aren't three free happy meals. These are real delicious meals. Just go to blueapron.com/CLNS. That's your three free meals. I'm also going to give you 30 days of audiobooks. So if you're a book guy like I am and you like to read, you like to lay there in your bed and read or sit on the train and read, I'm giving you 30 days of free books. So free meals and free books. And oh, by the way, you're going to need a timer when you're cooking those meals. So you go on over to movementwatches.com. I'm going to give you 15% off to get that watch, to get that timer. You're going to look good while you're cooking your free meals, while you're reading on the train, eating your leftovers from your free meals. See, it all goes together here on Celtics, CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com. So for executive producer Larry H. Russell, our program director Justin Poulin, and the founder of our network, Mr. Nicholas Gelso, for my co-host tonight, Sean Backey, and Nick Sesento, the one and only Nick Sesento, I am Patrick Gilroy. We're going to see everybody back here. A little Gino music. I hope we get to see some Gino time on Friday. We'll see everybody back here Friday when the Celtics take on their division and conference rivals, the Toronto Raptors. Until then, enjoy tonight's Celtics victory. Your final score, Celtics 117, Magic 87. We'll see y'all right back here on CLNS Radio this Friday.